Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. How are you doing? Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. I'm here. And I'm going to save your week. Hopefully put a smile on your face. You know what to do right now. Share this podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Like, comment, share. I love to hear from you guys. Thank you to all of my seasoned followers, you guys are amazing. Thank you to my new followers. You guys are rock stars. Thank you for everybody who has supported me over the years as I stepped away for a little while and tried to find myself. And this is therapeutic for me, for most of y'all. If y'all know that by now, this is there. But I was going through some things, life changes, but I made it back. And I thank you for staying with me. So, what happened the other day? The Grammys. I watched the Grammys. Let me tell you, that was a long show. Very, 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 very long show. I'm going to talk about the winners first. Let's stay there first. There were some surprises. And then, of course, there were those that you knew who were going to win. The best picks for me was Miley Cyrus, who won for Best Pop Solo Performance for Flowers. Of course, I had never heard the song because I just really have been out of touch with anything too much outside of jazz and gospel. I've kind of been staying in my lane. But I actually like Miley Cyrus. So watching her perform the song and hear the song was amazing. I love her voice. And that worked for me. Best R&B song went to SZA for Snooze. Great song. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. The big song of the year, What I Was Made For, from the motion picture Barbie, went to Billie Eilish. Interesting song. Barbie is now on, I think I saw it on Amazon Prime, so I'm going to watch it now. I really had intentions of going to see it while it was in the movie theater, but it just didn't happen. And so she won for that. Best New Artist, Victoria Monet. So happy for her. So happy for her. She gave a little spill about her life moving here, and that was truly, truly amazing. The record of the year went to Flowers for Miley Cyrus again. And I was so juiced about that Miley Cyrus won, because she's been in this industry since she was a kid. I love her. I loved her show, and I watched it. Hannah Montana. Here I was, a grown man watching Hannah Montana. Very good show. Kudos to the Clark sisters. They received an award, which I don't understand why it took so long. People, please tell me. Why does it take so long for you to give respect to those who have paved the way? What's so annoying is that the Clark sisters, if you listen to any of the artists there, the majority of them will say they got their sound from the Clark sisters. But you never want to give them their just due. And that's so sad. They are their gospel royalty, is really, you know, just there's no other way to say it. They are gospel royalty. And it shouldn't be when somebody barely can walk is when you decide you want to give them a Grammy. I just don't understand that. That is so crazy. You wait till somebody's about to kill over. And then, oh, we should give them a Grammy. Let's acknowledge them. Let's give them a Lifetime Achievement Award. A Lifetime Achievement Award means that they've been in the trenches all this time. And you never thought they were worthy enough before then? Come on. We got to do better, Grammys. We really have to do better. Let's see, who else did I really just was? There wasn't too many other people that I was shocked about. Y'all know that Taylor Swift got the big Grammy of the night. Y'all know how that goes. We know how that is going to go. So it went on right to her like it always does. Taylor Swift is their token person right now. And they're going to make sure that she gets every award. And I've said this before. How do you even compare Taylor Swift to Michael Jackson? How does she have more Grammys than the King of Pop, who will forever be the greatest entertainer that we've ever had? Ever. There will never, ever, ever be another Michael Jackson. I don't care how many artists you put up there, there just will never be. And when it comes to gospel, there's no group that's going to come behind. We haven't had. We've had some great girl groups have come up, but they just have not been able to weather the storm and stand the test of time to be the great gospel performers. I love jazz. Y'all know I love jazz. Samara Joy, best jazz performance. Love her. Love her, love her, love her. This girl is, her voice is just, if you haven't heard Samara Joy, take your cell phone over there. Her voice is beyond crazy. Best alternative jazz album went to the one and only Michelle Indichieglio. Love her too. There were some great winners. But y'all know this thing is so long. So long. And you're just sitting there. Oh my God. There's no way. I would just be done. I would probably be fell over asleep somewhere. And Joni Mitchell, who has been in this industry for years and years and years and years and years and years. She won Best Folk Album for Joni Mitchell at Newport Live. I'm going to talk about her later. I'm not going to go. I won't stay there. Best Gospel Performance Song. All Things winner. I mean, All Things by Kirk Franklin won that. And Best Contemporary Christian Music Performance Song went to Your Power by Lecrae and Tasha Cobbs Leonard. Boom, boom, boom. Best Gospel Album went to All Things New, Live in Orlando, Ty Tribbett. Best Contemporary Christian Music Album went to Lecrae, Church Close. And Best Roots Gospel Album, The Echoes of the South, The Blind Boys of Alabama. So, of course, you know, they don't show this on TV, so you have to go and search or look for them to put up their actual pictures with their Grammys. Who else did I want to make sure that I just acknowledge? Oh, Dave Chappelle won for Best Comedy Album, for those of you that are into comedy. Best Audiobook. Boom, boom, boom. Went to, who else? Michelle Obama. Isn't that amazing? Our former first lady, who will forever be my first lady. She's just amazing. Best audiobook. You guys know that she's written a book. Her husband has written a book. So lots going on there. Is there anybody else that I want to make sure that I mention? Let's see here. I think that's about it. And I'm scrolling now just in case there's somebody I missed. Because I'm telling you, a lot of these folks, I actually don't know who they are. So I'd be like, who are you? Don't know who you are. Sorry. Because there's so many projects out there. So many artists. So many different scores for different music. For different projects. So, let's move on. I think I've gotten everybody. And I think that was a good thing. Let's talk about performances. Whew. Best performances. Hands down. Hear me when I say this. Hands down goes to Fantasia. For her tribute to the recently departed Tina Turner, whom we lost in 2023. Let me tell y'all, that Fantasia rocked that stage. She picked that stage up and threw it at folks and said, "For those of you that don't know me, let me reintroduce myself." Ha ha! I loved it. Reintroduce yourself and remind these folks who you are, Fantasia. You are the American Idol winner. You are. Oh my God. She did Proud Mary and she did Tina justice. Tina Turner was just an amazing artist, an amazing entertainer, just everything, for overcoming physical and domestic abuse and becoming one of the greatest entertainers of our time. So that was amazing. Luke Combs did a duet with the one and only Tracy Chapman, Fast Car, y'all. That was just like, yes, 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 yes. I'm telling y'all, these performances brought me to tears. To see Tracy Chapman on stage, whew, oh, just utterly. I think her voice is truly amazing. Truly amazing. I enjoyed Miley Cyrus with Flowers. She tried to, well, I'm going to say, she channeled as best as she could. She was channeling a little bit of Tina Turner herself, which was good. Great performance. 21 Savage, I didn't understand your concept. Didn't get it at all. I was trying to figure it out, and then they kept beeping you so much, so I'm like, are you using that much profanity? Jesus. Is there a clean version of the song? I'm like, when we get on there, can we just do some songs without so much profanity? Why, Jesus? Why? But just didn't. It was a long performance for that. Brandy came out with some people that I didn't know. Had no clue. Enjoyed them. Stevie Wonder came out to do the tribute to artists we've lost in 2023, which always makes me cry when they do that part. And he sung his tribute to Tony Bennett. Oh, Lord. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying not to cry again, y'all. Trying not to cry. So I'm going to drink this Pepsi. Because get real emotional. Annie Lennox came out and did her tribute to Sinead O'Connor. We lost some greats last year, y'all. We lost some iconic legends. And Annie Lennox doing that performance was just, I was blown away. Truly blown away. I have heard of Joni Mitchell, but I really honestly couldn't tell you what she sings. So I was not knowing. I have been a fan of folk singers because folk singers are basically like gospel singers. You have to flatfoot sing because your voice is at the front of everything. So you have to be able to really just flatfoot sing. And she gave a performance from her chair. It was her first time ever singing on the Grammys. And I'm sitting here like, how is this? Everybody talks about this woman and she's inspired everybody. The Grammys is just, they do things so wrong. So wrong. She gave an amazing performance. The last time I had seen someone sit through the entire performance, I think, was Michael Jackson. So kudos to her. Kudos to her. Let's see. Was there anybody else? No. I don't think there was anybody else that, for me, I was excited about seeing or needed to pay attention to. Because the show is long, so you got to find chances to take breaks and move on. Okay. Let's talk about the dirt at the Grammys, y'all. Let's get to the good stuff, the juicy stuff. Killer Mike won 3 Grammys for Best Rap and in every category that he was in, he won. So, something happened outside. And after winning on this night, he gets arrested. You got to be kidding me. How do you leave the Grammys in cuffs? Because it's something that happened outside. That is crazy. But that's what happened. So, the next piece of drama that happened. Jay-Z. The living legend. The rapper. Oh boy. Jay-Z got up to receive the Dr. Dre Award. And he slammed, stepped on, squashed, read for filth the Grammys. He called them out because what happened? They snubbed Beyonce. So as he was accepting the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award, which y'all was established last year, which just kind of curious, wasn't Dr. Dre in some type of scandal? Oop, I don't know. I don't follow him like that, but I thought his name was in a scandal. We'll have to look that up and talk about that at another time. But he got up and gave a speech. And in this speech, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than anyone and has never won Album of the Year. So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Ain't that crazy? Think about that. She has 32, which is the most of all times, but she has never won for Album of the Year. Renaissance, she lost the Album of the Year award to Harry Styles, which was Harry's house. Her album before that was Lemonade, was lost to Adele in 2017. And Adele's words, come on, y'all, listen to this. I can't possibly accept this award. And I'm very humbled. And I'm very grateful and gracious. But my artist of my life is Beyoncé. The Lemonade album was just so monumental and so well thought out and so beautiful and soul-bearing. And all us artists here, we effing adore you. So make it make sense. You don't want to give her the accolades. And I tell y'all, I have some thoughts on that after I finish this. But make it make sense. Why are you not giving her just due? We already knew Taylor Swift was going to win. She is their pick. But come on now. Beyoncé has put out explosive album after album. And I think when they went on tour this year, her and Taylor were around, and they were just trying their best to make Taylor Swift the top, top, top. And no matter what you say, Taylor Swift draws a nice crowd. I'm not going to knock what she do. I'm not going to knock her hustle. I think she's okay. She's not a fallout singer to me. As well as I don't think that Beyoncé is a fallout singer. But Beyoncé is an entertainer and she is going to give a damn good show. Damn good show. So that stands for that. Jay-Z also went on to say that some of you don't even belong in the categories, basically what he was saying. Because so many people get nominated and shouldn't even be there. Should not even be there. Look at how many times we've had one-hit wonders and they give them a Grammy and we never see this artist again. But the artists out there in the trenches who's singing don't get they just due. Diana Ross, the living legend. All of the hits that she had from her solo project to being with the Supremes. Where's the Grammy? Come on. Where is the Grammy? I just don't understand. You know, I don't understand. But I really do. I really do. I really honestly do, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to break this down. Whew, Jesus. So, if we go back in time, we got to look at just how this really is. The music industry is run by who? You do the math, you go figure it out. And when you figure out who it is, do you think that they are trying to support black people and give them their just due? Unless you're going to play kissy kissy. If you're going to play kissy kissy, yeah. Diana Ross has been nominated 13 times. And she has not won, not once. Ain't that crazy? Make it make sense. Not one did she win. Everybody knows Diana Ross. Everybody. But what do? In 2012, they gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award. Let me tell you, when you know you're a legend, you can pack out Central Park and people don't want to leave, and it's pouring down rain, not just no drizzle. When she did Central Park, oh my God, it was like buckets of water being poured. And the professional that she is, I'm not going to leave the stage. You have to leave now. I love you all. Let's walk. Let's go towards. Please, you have to leave. She stayed on the stage while it is pouring down. How many other artists would have did that? One of her most famous quotes: fame is not a career. Your career is to share your God-given gift. And that is the thing that makes you happy. Real artist. Real artist. Why should Jay-Z have to call them out? But if you are a person of color, we have been looked over time and 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 time again. So when you get into this, you have to say, am I in this to make great music, timeless music, feel good music, or am I trying to catch an award? Some of you might be too young to remember Susan Lucci. Susan Lucci was Erica Kane on All My Children. Yeah, y'all might be too young to remember All My Children. I loved All My Children. That was like my favorite show. And on there is the Emmys. That's where they get awards at, is the Emmys. So the Daytime Emmy Awards. Let me tell y'all. From 1978 till 1999, she had been nominated and never won. 78. 1981, 1982, 1983, 1984, 1985, 1986, 1987, 1988, 1989, 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998, and then 1999, Shamar got up to present the award, and the words out of his mouth, the drought is over. all of those years leading a cast. I mean, everybody knew Susan Lucci. Everybody. There was not a person that didn't know her acting ability or skills. And you mean to tell me she wasn't worthy of getting an award for 18 years? Feel like you almost had to sleep with somebody. And so many other actresses received the award and you don't even see them anymore. Don't even see them anymore. Give the people their just due while they are alive. Do not wait and want to give them these old crazy Lifetime Achievement Awards. Give them their just while they are still here. Let them have their flowers while they're still here. Because it makes no sense. Makes no sense that you don't want to celebrate people, but you'll celebrate other people that don't matter. That don't matter. Jay-Z was right. I agree with everything he said. But it's kind of funny because a couple of years ago, you remember, you guys, Kanye got up in the midst of Taylor Swift's speech and was like, Beyonce should have won this album. That was a little disrespectful how that was done. He took her moment. And yeah, that made people like him. And I think he went crazy after that. But that was that. Why? Why do we wait? It makes no sense. Makes no sense. Give the people their just while they are still alive. And stop playing. Okay. Y'all go watch that. You can see all the clips of Jay-Z talking. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Oh, yeah. If you haven't done so, make sure you follow my TikTok. Mr. Chris T. Jones. Would love to see you there. I'm trying to do the TikTok thing. Don't forget my YouTube channel. Christopher Terrence Jones. Go there and check out my videos. Like, comment, and share there as well. I am going to take a quick break. Commercial break. And I will be right back. And just like that, I'm back. Woo! Great commercial break. Y'all, I want to talk about this just... I'm in utter shock, but I guess I shouldn't be in shock. So let me tell you what's going on in Atlanta, which they are calling the Black Hollywood here, right? So imagine it, or as she would say, Estelle Getty would say, picture it, Sicily. Well, we're going to say, picture it. Atlanta. So, you go off to fight for your country. And while you are off fighting for your country, a squatter moves into your residence, into your home, where your personal belongings are. And take up residence in your house. You come home after being gone forever and a day and go to your door, find a car in your driveway, and see movement in your house. Can you imagine Lieutenant Colonel Dahlia's face? Not only, well, not only was a squatter in her house, a convicted criminal was in her house. Now, here's the sad part. When she goes to try to get this man out of her house, he refuses to leave. Can y'all just visualize that for a second? You come home. You've been fighting for the country in a war torn wherever you was at, serving your country. You come home off a long flight. You tired. And you come home ready to go in your house, have a nice shower, nice bubble bath, have a good glass of wine, and rest and try to get your life back on some normalcy. And there's somebody in your house. You're a single woman, and there's a man in your house who is a squatter and has taken up residence in your house. You call the cops, and the cops tell you it's a civil matter. You have to serve him eviction papers to get out of your house. Can somebody tell me how that makes any sense? How do I have to serve eviction, which, you know, you got to pay. You got to pay the court system. That's why I say this is a scam. You have to pay to file and do all of this stuff to get somebody out of your house. And here's this. You can't even say, well, I'm going to stop paying the mortgage and do all of that, because then it's your credit that's affected. Isn't that just the most ludicrous thing you've ever heard of? And here's the thing. While she was gone, she said that she had had renovations done to her house. He moved in right after she got done renovating. So now this person is in her house living off of her renovations. And this is a woman, y'all. Do you really think she's going to feel comfortable sleeping in the house? Now, mind you me, this is an Atlanta house. $500,000 residence. But she's not the only one. She's not the only one. You come down the street to your house, and they're having drag races on the street in your nice, peaceful neighborhood that's now that went left. So you're looking like, who are these people? Come to find out, the vacant house on your block now is no longer vacant, because four men have moved in and they're living there, squatters. But not only that, they turned the home into an illegal strip club. Strippers, complete with weekend parties. And here is the damn kicker of it all. Live horses on the property. Do you hear me? Live. Big horses. How do you even go there? So, when these four individuals took up residence without permission, because they're squatters, y'all, little did the neighbors know the 4,000 square foot, five bedroom home with three bathrooms will become a den of illicit activity. The strip club, they held noisy parties, and like I say, organized car races in the street, changing the neighborhood for everybody. It took the SWAT team to come in there and clear out the house. Cars were stolen, of course. Weapons were stolen. Credit cards, everything. You leave your house and you're like, it's all right. It's safe. I'm just going to be gone for a couple of days. The neighbors are so scared they don't even want to go on vacation because they just feel if they see your house empty. Because while you're at work, here y'all got to catch this. These people are out driving through neighborhoods watching houses. Don't turn your lights on for a week. Go on vacation. You come back, you may find out somebody's in your house. But this is the sad part. We have so many laws, but there is no law to protect homeowners who most, they just struggling to get by. We live in such hard times. It's not like when it back in the 50s and the 60s when you could buy a house for $8,000. That house that you bought then for $8,000, million, $2 million, $3 million. Is this even America anymore? You can't do anything about someone trespassing into your home and living in your home while you're gone. You will forever feel violated, whether you want to admit it or not. But that's crazy. And for Lieutenant Dahlia, she had to find a law that was obscure in order to get the police to get involved. That was the only reason the person is out. And she said it was aggravating and angry. But I'm telling y'all, just imagine you come back home. You've been on a plane for hours and hours. And you come back home and somebody is in your house. Now you got to go to a hotel or go figure out where you staying. Let me tell y'all. I'm going to tell y'all no lie. They wouldn't be able to sleep that night because I would light that house on fire. I would have to just, because I've already done a bunch of renovations. My nerves is frazzled. I wouldn't be able to stay in the house because you get out. Now I'm scared you're going to come back. So, you know, the psycho side of me, I'm going to light this hole on fire. That means every door that you think you're going to run to, I've already started the fire there. See, I have that crazy mind. I've watched enough TV and murder stuff because this is crazy. I don't know why we're here and how we got here. Makes no sense. But if you come home and somebody's in your house, you can get arrested because then they have rights. Squatters have rights. How do squatters have rights in somebody else's house? Make that make sense. Nobody should have a right to be in your house while you are gone and you come back and you can't put them out. And it cost you to put them out of said house. That is beyond ludicrous to me. I don't even understand it. I don't even understand it. I'm like, wow. I feel sorry for her. I hate that she had to go through this process. It's crazy. Now, something else happened that I'm still in utter shock. But those of you that are on Instagram, Sean King is the person who you go to and he's going to give you the real truth about whatever is going on. Over 6 million followers. He's going to highlight everything that is going on in the world. And he puts it right out there for you to see it. If there was a, let me just say for you younger people, a Rodney King of this day, he would have put the video up. When people are doing harm to others, he's there. I normally follow him. Well, I do follow him. And I was wondering why I hadn't seen anything. And today, I just said, let me go check on his page and see. Let me catch up where I've missed out on. And this is the official statement from Sean King. Moments ago, I learned that I will be banned by Instagram/Meta for life over an open letter to the men of Yemen that I made on December 22nd, 2023. Thanking them for their courage, doing anything and everything they know to do to stop the horrific genocide of the Palestinian people at the hands of Israel, the United States, and the United Kingdom. I have been told that my Instagram account of nearly 6 million followers and all of its data have been permanently deleted and could not be restored under any circumstance. Even Donald Trump, who was repeatedly suspended, banned, and charged with nearly 100 felonies, has been restored. I've committed no crimes, have never been suspended, and yet I am now banned for life. Let me be clear. I stand by every single word I said then and do not and will never regret saying what I said in defense of Gaza and in support of Yemen. In fact, I only wish I said and did even more to support Yemen in their efforts on the Red Sea. In a moment, I need to explain to you what Meta did both to me and to the Meta Oversight Board. To completely remove and undercut their power, it's shocking and sets a dangerous new precedent. But first, some context and facts. Since October 7th, the Houthis of Yemen have not killed one single person on the Red Sea. It does not even appear that they have caused even one injury. It has only been the U.S. and the U.K. that have killed people on the Red Sea. First killing 12 Yemen men on their boats and later dropping bombs and slaughtering more people all over Yemen. Now that my case is closed, please allow me for the first time to publicly detail the Zionist actions of Mark Zuckerberg, Instagram CEO, Adam Mosseri, an Israeli citizen who spent much of his childhood in Israel and whose family still lives there now, and the Zionist law firm they hired as outside counsel against me in this case, is breathtaking. On Christmas Eve, when my account was suspended for my open letter to Yemen, I was shocked. Yemen and the Houthis have been moved off of the American government terrorist list 3 years ago. Ironically, at the request and the order of Joe Biden, I had been told by Meta that I could not post about Hamas in any capacity because they were on the government terrorist list. the Houthis weren't. Meta then told me that I have their own private Meta then told me that they have their own private terror list and that the Houthis were on it. They would not say who made the list. They would not show me the list. As of this moment, the white supremacist colonizers of Israel, the U.S., and the U.K. in just the past week have bombed Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Somalia, and Yemen. 35,000 Palestinians, with most of them being innocent women, children, and elders, have now been slaughtered. And the entire world knows it as disgusting and evil genocide. It's actually an abomination that more countries have not had the courage of Yemen. If it is even possible to be ethical and moral in a war or genocide, it is the brave men of Yemen who go out of their way not to injure a soul who demonstrate this is damn sure is in Israel. In the 40 plus days since I was banned, millions of people endorsing the actions of Yemen have been made and shared without accounts being banned for it. My attorneys, who had experience with cases before the Independent Meta Oversight Board, said we only had 15 days to file our appeal, but Meta's attorneys refused to hold any meetings with them. Finally, on day 15, a meeting was scheduled. It was there that we learned that Meta had hired outside counsel in their case against me. In this instance, the law firm was Oryk, a Zionist law firm, which has publicly stated, "We stand with the State of Israel," runs their own Israeli resource center, and is staffed with open Zionists. When my attorney and I game planned for this meeting, we believed 10 scenarios were possible, with the absolute worst scenario being them saying Meta has decided to uphold the suspension of Sean King's account, but he is now free to appeal to the Meta Oversight Board. Instead, they did something far more nefarious. They stated, "We have closed and deleted Mr. King's account. And since you actually have to have an account to file an appeal with the Meta Oversight Board, Mr. King is unable to file an appeal. This decision is final and permanent." That was the beginning, middle, and the end of the meeting. They didn't take questions and ended the meeting. My attorneys were both shocked and appalled. Donald Trump himself was allowed back on Meta and now actively uses their platform to spread lies and ugliness. But my account is deleted, and I'm permanently banned. In essence, Meta, the corporation, found the one loophole that made them completely unaccountable to the Meta Oversight Board. If they simply delete an account, the Oversight Board loses all power to rule on that account. And that's exactly what the Meta Oversight Board ruled today. They told my attorneys what they are prohibited from even accepting my case, which they would otherwise take because they, Meta, deleted my account before they could accept the appeal. This is a very dangerous precedent, and frankly, less than we wanted my individual account restored. We were afraid that if Meta could do this to me, which they have now done, they could do this to anyone. And clearly, they aren't applying any of this logic to Israel or the IDF, as they literally post videos of themselves committing genocide and war crimes. And the horrific videos go viral day after day as if they are a harmless joke. Effectively, I have been given a lifetime ban from Instagram, and any possible pathway for an appeal has been removed. While this decision is unjust, I don't regret or take back a single word of support I offered Palestine or Yemen. Now, my fight doesn't end. It simply changes. Love you all, Sean. Now, let me start here. I in no way can go either way about the war because I really honestly have not followed the war. Just so we're clear, I don't even know what's really going on with it because I haven't followed it. The reason why I'm talking about Sean King is because Sean King has been at the forefront of putting everything out there because there should be a source where you can get information and get all of the information. I hate that we live in a world where people continue to feel like if they don't like what you say, they have the right to get rid of you. Everybody's voice should be heard. Like he said in his letter, Donald Trump, y'all all know he's a racist. You know he spreads lies. You know that he caused an insurrection on January 6th. Those are facts. Facts. But you give him his page back. You give him the free will to get on there and slander and talk about it. He just got sued. Well, hell, ain't no just got sued. He's gotten sued so many times, it's ridiculous. The last case, $83.5 million was awarded to the woman. So, Meta, how do you have the unmitigated gall to take down somebody's page because you don't agree with it? The whole point of Instagram, Facebook, and social media is so that people can give their opinion on their page. All you are is a host. So that's why I'm so confused right now that how did we even get here? It almost feels like a dictatorship where you go somewhere and you can only speak about what the government says you can. You don't have freedoms. You don't have any rights. Your voice does not matter. And I hate to say this. I really, really hate to say this. People are going to get mad at me. And I apologize in advance for telling the truth. But every time we get somewhere and somebody's trying to shut somebody else's voice down, it is the white Republicans. Time and time and time and time again. And if it's not the white Republicans, well, if it's not the white young Republicans, or I'm not even saying, it's the white old men who don't want the world to change. As long as these senators and congressmen hold power, this world cannot change. We live in a time where there is every nationality here. It is a melting pot. Now, just because you decided to live your entire life in Hook Crook, Alabama, where the population is 400 and is nothing but a bunch of white people and y'all all look the same, that's not America. That's not America. I was telling a friend today as I was coming home, I don't even understand why Trump and everybody else is so worried about a wall, putting up a wall, and we don't want to let the people come in here. And I said this, and I meant what I said. 85 to 90% of the migrant people come in here, they work for you white Republicans as your nannies, as your maids, as your housekeepers. But you have a problem with them. Because I hate to tell you this. I really hate to tell you this. Black people ain't come and do that. When you look at the wine country, the people that work out in the fields, picking in the fields, those are migrant workers who have come here to have a better life. And it's sad to say that where they've come from to come work in the field in the United States is better where they've come from. But you're so worried and don't want to let them in. And what they do in life doesn't affect you. Because you would not go out there and do it. How many white people going out here and applying to go pick grapes? None. You can't even get black people to do that. Hell, you can't even get black people to do the basic stuff. Because they think they so far overcome. There are some. It's not everybody. There are some. But Facebook started on the premises of it's your book. Is your page. You have freedom of speech on your page. Facebook, which is now Meta, owns Instagram. How do you change that concept? How do you come back off of what you started and go back and say, oh no, you can't say this. But you allow others continue to stay on there. Hell, them girls, the two Diamond and Silk, the two black women who supported Donald Trump, got on Instagram, Facebook, every piece of social media and lied day in, day out. They lied. Facebook didn't take them down. And it's so crazy. We get into these algorithms and the algorithms work for some people and the algorithms don't work for others. When they start hearing keywords, if they don't like the words, they make sure that your stuff doesn't get any advertisement. So, years ago, I started my social group and called the Unique Ones. Y'all remember them. I had them for years. And I just have like a variation of it now. Because when I started it on the platform on meetup.com, there were about five or so other groups that started around me at the same time. We all started at the same time in the trenches together. My group never got over 500 members. All the other groups, 2,000, 3,000 members. I never got there. Provided quality entertainment. Did the pictures, everything that I was supposed to do. My people kept coming back. And we've been friends now for over 20 years, a lot of us. We still hang out and do everything. Not as, you know, the big whole group, but we still change. People have moved and all that. But what I'm saying is, when the algorithm would go out, I would sign in And I couldn't even find my own group unless I was using my name. But if I just turned on the computer and went to Meetup and was looking, I could never even find my own group. So when I went to the Meetup meeting with the CEO who came to one of the organizers' meetings, and my question was, how come I cannot find my own group? Why is my group not being promoted? But yet I pay you guys all these fees and a monthly fee, and then it went to every 3 months. His response to me was that Meetup was about the people, the individuals, not the organizers. And I was like, but you're not answering my question. Our focus is not on the organizers, so I really can't tell you why that's happening. How can you not tell me why that's happening and you're the CEO? At that point, I knew that Meetup was no longer the site for me, and I'm not giving you any more money. If this is a place where everybody is allowed to meet up, why aren't you advertising my group? If you're advertising everybody else's. So with that being said, Meta, how do you take down somebody's page off of them having free speech on their own page? It doesn't make sense. It's not adding up. You guys can go look at this story for yourself. You can find Sean King. He's out there, and I'm sure he's going to come back in a different form. But we have to get to the place where we stop trying to hinder everybody's voice. It's like we're trying to go back in time where only a certain people have power. Only a certain people have control. And if they don't like what you say, they shut you down. It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Make sure you share, like, comment, all that good stuff. Have a great day. See you soon.